I'm going to close up public comment and bring it back to the commission. And Commissioner Katie wanted to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Did you want to speak, sir?
Yeah. Did you? I had a couple questions.
Why don't you do your questions?
Go ahead,
Commissioner Cummins.
Yeah, first, thank you, Chair. So I guess just to follow up on some of the comments, the person from the Good Times had asked the speed, what speeds the train would travel, and just wanted to see if we could have that question answered, if possible.
So from earlier conversation, you'll recall a presentation as we developed design standards for this corridor. It was designed with the intent of being able to accommodate a speed of up to 60 miles an hour. That's not to say that the train travels at that speed, but it could operate safely at that speed. The train speeds are going to vary along the length of the line. A lot of that has to do with the distance between stations. And as the question was asked, the number of crossings and other things that are occurring along the line. And so that entire trip, the speed will vary as it moves into communities. It's going to be moving at a slower rate of speed than it will in some of the stretches where there aren't as many crossings. We can certainly, as a part of a further conversation, give you more detail in terms of what those speeds would look like on a station-to-station basis.
And then is there any opportunity for 15-minute headways?
It's not out of the question.
Okay.
However, the way that back to the conversation about what we're defining as a baseline project and being consistent with what's in the state rail plan, the number of sidings and the numbers of vehicles and that are built around the premise that it is a 30-minute service. If it were to go to a 15-minute service, obviously there's additional sidings that would be required for trains to pass. There'd also be more vehicles required.
And then I'm just wondering, because we haven't really talked about the concept of freight and the revenue that would bring in. And so I'm just wondering, you know, when we think about the freight component, which was kind of left out of this, like what are we thinking about in terms of how much revenue that would help bring in? Because that has been kind of excluded from the, it seems like it's been excluded from the.
I could take a shot at that. I mean, our existing line is technically an active freight line. It's not a, you know, booming revenue generator from a freight perspective. You know, the operator that we currently have sent us a notice back in, I don't know, 2021 that they intended to kind of get out of the agreement because they were kind of losing money on the line. So you know, unless there's a large boom of industrial business that happens in North County in the future, you know, we don't want to preclude freight from happening, but we're definitely not hanging our hat on any kind of future revenue for freight. Just okay. To be totally candid.
And I hear you, but I also think that, you know, although we're not hanging our hat on that, there's still an opportunity there. And so, you know, I just wanted to bring that up since we did have somebody talk about, you know, freight funding that's been available. I think there are other opportunities. There may be potential for other opportunities. I think we just have to keep an open mind on that.
May I add, you know, freight revenue coming to Santa Cruz is very different than the potential grants available that, you know, could meld with, you know, passenger and freight. There are more, you know, the more opportunities there are for grants. And so from that perspective, we're going to need any, you know, potential grant that is available. So,
and I think that's important to acknowledge, because if we are having an opportunity for freight and passenger, I think it's just worth noting that that's going to make us more eligible for more funding. And so I think we should keep that, you know, at the top of our minds when we're thinking about the overall cost. And then last question, then I have some comments, but I did just want to ask if there's a number on how much we've paid for the highway widening segments to cost, because it was brought up by members of the public. But I think, to their point, you know, when we think about what we've done in terms of the highway widening, I mean, it's not like we resurfaced all of that area. I mean, it's a very small segment. I mean, it's small in terms of the amount of area, like width, and then the length, you know, getting the cost per mile on that, I think, is also really important, and how much we've been paying for the bridges so that we can do a comparison. So do we have those numbers at all, or can we get those numbers when this comes back?
I don't have the numbers offhand. However, the numbers that one of the community members cited sounded a little high. You know, we got a grant in 2020 to fund construction of 5 miles of the highway, and it was about $100 million. So it's, you know, the total amount for the 8 miles is, I would guess, less than $1 billion. But we could pull those details together and provide that information to you.
That'd be helpful. And then I'll end by just, you know, saying that, you know, this is a long-term effort. It's a long-term investment, and it's a marathon project that is really not going to be for us, but for future generations, you know, for a rail line that's going to last the next 100 years. And, you know, there needs to be, you know, we need to be creative around this, and we need to advocate, because one of the things that we've seen, it's in my time, you know, on city council and on board of supervisors, is that if you're a strong advocate, money that they say is not there can appear. And we've done it for homelessness. We've been able to secure funding from the state. And, you know, I think that we really need to be strong advocates, you know, as it relates to trying to reduce the impacts of greenhouse gases on climate change and, you know, find different modes of transportation. Because I will say that, you know, I will remind us that the state does not require parking in new multi-unit developments. And a lot of the building that we're, the construction that we're going to see in terms of multi-unit housing that's going to come is not going to have parking. And so how are these people going to get around? And if we don't invest in other forms outside of bus, you know, we're going to be bringing all these people in the community, and they're going to have no way to get around. Or we're just going to have people parking on top of each other in neighborhoods, and that's going to frustrate people more than anything. So having a variety of options, I think, is really critical. And, you know, I just want to remind us that we voted on this. 2/3 of the voters voted no on Measure D, which was to, you know, include planning and continue to plan for the potential for passenger rail service. And that's what's before us today. And I think that while the numbers are high, one, I think we need to continue to get through the process and get to the end. And we need to figure out how we can get creative in terms of trying to make this happen, because it is a long-term investment. And we've invested a lot over a very long period of time as like already to this date. And so it's not like we're going to have to come up with $4.2 billion overnight. But let's, you know, if we have a plan in place, what we've seen is that that makes us more competitive to secure funding. And I think that we need to continue moving through this process so that we can be more competitive and hopefully get to a point where we can make this project happen. Thank you.
Commissioner.
Thinking about some of the different projects that have gone on from SMART to Coaster, do any of those have the hydrogen? Or is it, what I also wanted to ask, if there's a kind of a timeline to transition into, you know, sustainable rail. Is there that demand that exists like there is with cars?
So the twofold, I hear one question is there hydrogen in
yes.
operating? And the answer is, do we have a fare service for
rail?
We do have a hydrogen rail line that was mentioned in San Bernardino. I know it's gone through the testing, and does it operating fare service yet?
It is about to begin fare revenue service. It has just gone through the certification process, both through CPUC and the Federal Railroad Administration for operation.
So is there a phase out in rail of internal combustion, or is it something that we're doing independently here in California?
It's not something that you're doing independently in California, but clearly California has been a leader in working towards zero emission for rail service. There is a conversation within the freight industry about hydrogen as an option. Compressed natural gas has been another option that's been looked at as well and used in some ways in locomotives, but the intent has been to phase out.
So the fact that it is hydrogen, is there any alternative funding sources? The way there has been sort of this federal, national, and state rebate programs for EVs.
So, again, that's one of the things that's unknown as to what the emphasis of this administration will be in terms of the priority for that as an alternative fuel source. if we were to begin or be requesting grant funding today. But we don't know where that program will be in a couple of years when you're to the point of asking for significant funding through the program.
Well, I think after seeing these almost 2 years, the next 2 years from now, we're going to have hopefully a pendulum swing. You know, I think that we're really going to have to maybe even consider, you know, collaborating more with TAMSE because they're going to be doing the same thing. Collaborating with MST, sort of at some point creating this large district, transportation district to see if we can get more funding collaborating with each other. But I agree with Commissioner Cummings that Commissioner DeSipra mentioned that she's going to be 72 when the project gets done. But, you know, I think that for me, I see it as sort of something that can be done for our children and our children's children, thinking out those three generations forward. And I would hate it in 35 years, 40 years, and we're going to have that same congestion that's there right now. So, I mean, that's my thinking. And, you know, I'm optimistic, and I do have hope that this administration changes, that the pendulum's going to swing, and that there's going to be more funding opportunities for cleaner transportation. So,
thank you. Commissioner Cayley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I want to thank the staff, thank the commissioners for thoughtful comments today, and the members of the public, both who called in and who are with us today, for their continued involvement in this and thoughts. Mr. Chairman, it seems to me, and I could be very wrong because I'm wrong often, but it seems to me that what has happened on this is that we had a vote several years ago about do we want, as a community, to fund a range of options going forward with regard to transportation and transit in our community for a variety of reasons, and the voters said yes to that. Then a while later, they said there was a question. This is my interpretation of it. Do you want to stop that at this point with regard to some component parts or not? And the voters, I think, at that time, given what was in front of them, they said, no, we don't want to stop now. Not yet, anyway. We'll reserve that right later. But here now, under what we understand to be the facts, no, we don't want to do that. I think at least an observation of this is that the time, I think, Mr. Chairman, has come where we want to braid together the issues around sort of the engineering and stations and times and headways and frequency and rolling stock and O&M and all of that. We're deeply in that. But if I understand correctly, what's in front of us tonight is an executive summary of a more complete report with appendices and so on that will be, am I right, Ms. Christensen, available both to us and to the public in August. Is that correct?
That's correct. Before August, we plan to release the concept report.
Okay. So the basis upon which this report was prepared, that will then become available. People can debate and discuss, you know, is the number accurate, where'd this come from, and so on and so on. But I think we're now into orders of magnitude that we're pretty clear about. This isn't going to be a billion. It's going to be four or more. So then the question becomes, assuming we pursue this, and it seems to me that what we've heard from our executive director, from our consultants, is that something between 20, 30, and 40% of some number around $4 billion, we are going to ask that burden be carried locally. And so it seems to me that as that information becomes clearer and clearer, it is appropriate for us to ask as a commission for our staff and our consultants, concurrent with the release of that report, which has all the details in it, and it was the basis of this executive summary, that we simultaneously get back from our staff and our consultants a report which says, assuming 40%, assuming 30%, and assuming 20% local share of cost of this, both the capital and, as I understand it, we have a much bigger obligation on the O&M side because there isn't state or federal funding to reduce that. But that'll all be on us. And some portion between 20, 30, or 40% of the capital outlay cost is, in fact, we are going to, somebody is going to ask our voters to bear that burden at some point. I think it is time then to braid these two together, because this notion of how much would it cost for local share of cost hasn't been something that we have facts to be able to back up our best estimate of then what that burden would look like, assuming for a moment, as the supervisor said, and as I think our executive director said, we don't have tax authority beyond looking at sales tax. We're not a property tax sharing entity. We don't have a way to get to that. We don't have parcel tax authority that we could put on about. We have one tool in our toolbox, as I understand it, right now, and that would be our sales tax. So, Mr. Chairman, if you think it's appropriate, I would like to offer a motion for how we might braid those together, if you consider.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman, I would move that the executive director, in consultation with the appropriate fiscal folks that work for us, to prepare and present a report as follows. Number one, using the data in the full, what I call item 31 report on our agenda, calculate the local share of capital and O&M costs. Number two, assume three scenarios: a 20% local share, a 30% local share, and a 40% local share on the capital cost side, and 100% on the O&M side. Number three, to provide a table, assuming numbers one and two that I just mentioned, of taxes that would fit that model so that we can see, that is my motion, Mr. Chairman, and then I'd be glad to explain the motion if you want. So I'll wait unless there's a second or not a second.
I'll second.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, second. If I could open on the motion. Thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, that, I think what that would do is simultaneously sort of even up, if you will, the conversation around the costs and how that might be paid for. And I think it's time to daylight that. I'm not sure it was time to daylight that before. I'm not sure we had enough information to be able to say that, be able to get to a serious conversation, adult conversation about that. But I think if we get that report concurrent with the release of the underlying document in item 31, that then changes the nature of the conversation. I don't think it's going out on a limb here saying that we all want things in our life, and some of those things we have the resources to pay for, and some we just don't, we want and we can't pay for. And I don't think that's different in our public agency life either. I think lots of folks love the idea of a train for a wide variety of reasons, and they may be willing to share that local share cost and carry that burden. I don't know that. But I think if we do this way and braid these together in terms of timing, we then get a fact-driven, serious conversation about that component. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. That's, you know, that's a good proposal to, so we can get, because from my standpoint, it's like the more information we can, you know, output to the community, we can have a better conversation and, you know, have a decency. And I just want to thank everyone in the room and everyone online for being very respectful and during this conversation. I know there's passion on both sides, so I just want to thank everyone on my behalf and the commission's behalf. I think, you know, that everybody's been very cordial and very forthcoming in their opinions and questions. Any other Commissioner, questions? Commissioner Conner?
Well, first of all, Mr. Keeley, I think that's an excellent suggestion. I think it's an excellent motion to, you know, get these numbers out and have a fact-based discussion on what the local cost share would be. I would offer a friendly amendment. Maybe this is not necessary because you're already planning, staff's already planning on including it, but as I was suggesting, for the other, whatever percentage would be grant funded, we need to understand basically how competitive we will ultimately be, and that's where I was asking for the cost per rider mile or whatever it is that the FTA is going to use. I mean, it could be multiple factors, but some insight into how competitive we are versus other systems that have recently received funding. So I'd offer a request for that information and some kind of comparison as a friendly amendment to your motion.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah. So it becomes a part.
Commissioner. Yeah, I too would like to offer a friendly amendment to the motion. It seems if we heard from staff and our consultants earlier that some of the grants really only offer a 50% match. Or offer a 50% funding, 50% match. So to that end, to item number two on Commissioner Keeley's motion, that we go either 30, 40, and the 50% to cover that discussion that we had earlier, so we know what that number looks like as well. And that would be my only request.
Yes, I consider that a friendly amendment. Okay. Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Any other items that we're adding requests? Seems that we're pretty much on the same page. Seeing no other questions, and you have any questions?
Just going to be a busy summer for staff. So
that's great. with that, let's everybody in favor say aye.
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 All those in the negative? None. So it passes unanimously.
Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you for them. So we're going to move on to our next agenda, which is item, I lost my 32. 2025 consolidated grant.